My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
We got a lot going on at Texas practice today. A lot going on. Let's catch everybody up here. Figgy Fig, John Lopez, Chris Santiago here. All right, so I'm not even going to ask. We got good news. We got bad news. We got stuff that we don't even know how it's going to play out. But I'm going to start with this because Chris brought this up in a break, and it's a good question. So the backdrop is Titus Howard, if you haven't heard, has been carted off the field. We don't know the extent of it. Could be nothing, could be precautionary, but carted off the field. Stephon Diggs went down briefly, got back on the field. We know that there are some players. Kamari Lassiter's not practicing. Joe Mixon's not practicing. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil, for reasons we don't know exactly altogether sure.
Water is wet.
Not altogether sure what that is. Jake Hansen, depth at the linebacker position, which the Texans are thin. Is in concussion protocol. How you feeling about that Rams joint practice now?
I'm a little nervous about that, man. Mm-hmm. Because look, I know, you know, when it's just regular practice, they could kind of, you know, take it easy and all mm-hmm. that stuff. I don't think they taking it easy with joint practices like that. They yeah. going pretty hard, so I'm a little nervous about that, man.
I like them. I prefer them over the preseason. But when you're banged up. Just last year, they were going to have joint practices with the Saints. And because the Saints were banged up and the Texans were banged up, they canceled them. As much as I like them, I would rather be safe than sorry.
Me too.
Right?
Me too. It's not worth that. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's practice. I ain't trying to sound like Allen mm-hmm. Iverson, but
yeah.
It's practice.
Yeah. Look, man, and update you on some other things that are going on as we're speaking at Texas practice at the University School. In Ohio. Man, two things that are just like perfect for what we're going to talk about here with Davis Mills. The first one is not so much Davis Mills, but I saw the play. Like, John Metchie got open. Like, he had two strides on the DB, and I didn't catch the number on the DB. If I had to guess, I think it was a backup, Mike Ford, but nevertheless, he had two strides. It has nothing to do with Mike Ford.
Yeah.
Ball hit him square in the hands, and he dropped it. John Metchie's up against it. Say what you said. Go ahead. He's ringing that bell.
Metchie done.
Metchie's gone. He gone.
Get a fork over there.
Say man, what you said.
My man is done, man.
You honestly think so?
I think so, man. Because he was already up against it, but me personally was giving him the benefit of the doubt because everything went through. He was a second-round pick. I'm like, they're going to try to keep him on this roster because mm-hmm. of the potential. But you can't be dropping no passes, man. He was dropping passes last season.
Dude, it hit him both hands.
Yeah. So I just don't see how you keep him over somebody else like Hutchinson who plays special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a good game in the Hall of Fame game. So
yeah.
I just don't see how they don't keep him and try to keep Metchie.
At minimum, I mean, he's got to step it up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to show something in a game. Because D'Amico said, oh, he's been really good in practice. He's shown a lot of things, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he just dropped the ball wide open. And that's in practice. and he didn't show anything in the Hall of Fame
game. He started in the Hall of Fame game and didn't show anything.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure about him, man. I would be shocked if they keep him on this roster if he don't do anything else.
Yeah.
If he just keep doing what he just been doing, I would be shocked if he make this roster.
I don't know if I'm to the point yet where I would be shocked, but he's got to get something going. This is a big week for John Metchie. But and then there's this, and this is like what's going to tie in perfectly with the discussion here, and that is Davis Mills was, you know, obviously running the second team offense. Second team offense is the critical thing here, and threw an interception to Kalen Bullock. Well, good for Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
Because he's, and apparently it was a hell of a play. That one, yeah, I did not
he's
see.
He's making plays.
Yeah. Good for him, but Davis Mills threw another pick, and that's the Davis Mills experience. You see some good, and then it's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, Seth and I were on the same page from the Hall of Fame game. A lot of people were like, boy, Davis Mills, you know, what a nice effort, because the offense just went right down the field two times, maybe three. They were really moving the ball, et cetera. And I was like, well, I credit Bobby Slowick a lot. His footwork was good. Gerard Johnson, some of the things that he was doing, we talked to Clint about that, was good. But then out of nowhere comes this play that could have been a pick six. So I don't know what they're doing with Davis Mills, but I'll put it this way. Who do you trust the most at backup quarterback for a couple of games if they got to go? And why is it Case Keenum?
I mean, Case Keenum been there before, man. Mm-hmm. He been in the moments where he had to step in, and mm-hmm. you know, he was in the playoffs a couple times, and or the one time
he's played with Stephon in the big playoff game.
Yeah, so I understand that, but also I think Case Keenum the same age as me, so he kind of got that old man spirit a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, like I said, I'm not saying CJ Stroud gonna go down for a few weeks, but I don't know if he can hold it down for a few weeks. And also, I don't know if Davis Mills can.
Yeah.
Davis Mills, my issue with Davis Mills since he's been here is he just been so inconsistent, man. Mm-hmm. Some days he look good where you'd be like, okay, we got something right here. And other days he look like a deer in the headlight. And I just don't know if I can trust Davis Mills like that. I'd probably rather roll with Case Keenum.
If CJ Stroud has to miss a game or two in the regular season, I trust Case Keenum more. Flat out.
I agree.
I want Case Keenum to play, not Davis Mills. Chris?
Case Keenum, man.
Case Keenum.
I mean, we saw it last year, the game against the Titans.
Yeah.
Who they roll with? Yeah. Case Keenum.
Who made the big play?
Case Keenum and Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he did what he had to do to win that game,
mm-hmm.
and squeak that game out. I just don't know. To me, I feel like a lot of the good stuff from Davis Mills was like garbage time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where we seen that during the season when it wasn't nothing to play for. But it's like, man, maybe we do have something.
Yeah.
But it's too late now. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. It ain't going to change now.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit worried about that. And, you know, like I said, I don't think we're going to need.
The likelihood is you're going to need a, you know, nothing bad, but you're going to need the backup quarterback to come in for a couple of series, come in for a couple of games. Like, I just don't trust Davis Mills like I trust Case Keenum.
Yeah, I don't think so. And even last season, CJ missed two games. It was two games.
Yeah.
And that's only two games.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really do nothing with that, with the Browns game, I guess. But
yeah.
You got to have somebody who could step in for at least two games.
I'm just wondering what they're doing. Like, is this a long play? Like, are they trying to – is it a confidence thing trying to build up Davis Mills? Or are they're trying to keep him as a second-teamer and maybe move him? You know, that's been kicked around. Let other teams start thinking about maybe bringing in Case Keenum. I mean, Davis Mills.
It seemed like they pretty confident in Davis Mills. Like, I don't think they interested in moving him unless – somebody come to them about him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they say, hey, we'll give you a fifth round pick or something like that, because we had an injury or something like that. But I don't see them trying to move him right now willingly.
Yeah. Now, Davis Mills went into the tent yesterday last week when they were going to play the Bears. Case Keenum went into the tent yesterday, and I was just like, I just trust this guy. Like if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I don't see how you can trust Davis Mills more than Case Keenum. But this was Case talking about CJ But you can just, you know, just the knowledge and the confidence that he has.
It looks good. Looks really good. I think he's growing. I think, you know, he's learning how to communicate with receivers in, you know, different ways and on a deeper level that will continue to, you know, to stack reps. I've always said, like, there's communication off the field, you know, verbally talking through stuff, showing each other things, looking at film, and then there's communication on the field where we maybe tell them a play or give them a route or a check, but also they talk to us with their body language. And the more we can see how they move in and out of breaks, and especially when you work with new guys that are coming in, you know, like Steph coming in, I think they're all making strides in different ways than they did last year. So I'm excited to, you know, continue to see that grow.
So first of all, the good news there is he knows great quarterback play. And like everybody else, he's just over the top with C.J. Stroud. But I just feel like, you know, if push comes to shove, Gerard, Slowick, D'Amico, they're just going to trust. They're just going to trust Case Keenum.
Yeah, I think also last season it was a bad sign because we assumed Davis Mills was number two,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to start that Titans game. And then remember last minute, they said Keenum was starting.
Yeah.
So it was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So to me, that was a sign right there that mm-hmm. they didn't trust Davis Mills.
Yeah. Case Keenum also talked about his former teammate, Stephon Diggs. And this isn't necessarily related to the quarterback position, but I think it says a lot about Stephon Diggs.
I mean, I think anytime you've had, I don't know, I play with him in 17, I play with him in 22, you know, I saw a big jump in experience there, you know, in just a couple years too, I think even more experience. I think when you get to, you've been to the playoffs and you know what it takes to get to the, you know, the wild card divisional championship round, but you haven't made it all the way, you know, to the big one and won the big one, I think that just, that leaves you hungry. And I see a guy that's hungry for more. He's been there. He's tasted it. He doesn't just want to get there. He wants to win it. So he's putting in the time, putting in the effort. He's being himself with us, and it's fun to see.
Yeah. So, I'm you know, I think that's a great, great analysis of Stephon Diggs and what he's getting right here. Look, it's C.J. Stroud. It comes down to C.J. Stroud. We know that. And he and Stephon Diggs and these other receivers, they're going to be crucial to all. That's what I'm looking forward to the most on Friday. Like these receivers, like these receivers and C.J. Stroud, even if it's just one series, I want to see with the first team what we saw with the second team last week.
Yeah, I think Diggs is going to be really good for C.J. Stroud. And I like Nico. I think Nico is too, Tank Dell, all that. But I think what Diggs did with Josh Allen, I think he's going to bring that to C.J. Stroud. I think he's going to turn him up a notch. I think it's going to be
And he's
good.
Got better other receivers.
Yeah, I know. So he got other options, mm-hmm. a lot of other options. So I think Diggs being here is going to be so good for C.J. Stroud, and I think it's going to take this offense up to another level.
Yeah, no, I agree. But we'll see. The backup quarterback position, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Davis Mills threw an interception today. It was credit to Kalen Bullock. Davis Mills has been running almost exclusively with the second team, but flat out, I mean, if you ask me who's starting because CJ can't start tomorrow, I'm gonna say Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum's the guy. He doesn't have to start 12 games.
Yeah,
just one or two. If he has to start 12 games, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree. I think. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe because I think Mills is still on his little rookie contract. So
mm-hmm.
maybe it don't make any sense to try to move him on purpose and let somebody call. But maybe they just going to let it ride out like that.
Yeah. And I definitely don't want and this is a move for me. But if these injuries keep stacking up.
Yeah.
What they do against the Rams. I don't want to see the starters up.
Yeah, I'm still looking for an update on Titus Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything yet, but he, if y'all ain't here, he was carted off the field or he left off on the cart.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing I'm looking forward when the starters play on Friday, and that's Kalen Bullock. Because the depth chart has him as the second team safety, as we mentioned yesterday, behind Jalen Petrie. But he's making plays today.
He is.
Like, Kalen Bullock is having a day.
Yeah, he is. I'm fired up to kind of see what he do. I'm still a little nervous about the secondary. I'm not sure if he's starting the season off like that, but mm-hmm. I'm still a little nervous about that, man. Like, I feel like they still need to sign somebody.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a safety. No, I'm just kidding. No. But Kalen Bullock is playing his ass off today. Just locked up Ben Skoranek. Has an interception against Davis Mills. So if you're starting, so here's the depth chart, as they put it. They have Jalen Petrie starting at safety. He hadn't taken a snap at safety. He's been mostly nickel. Kamari Lassiter's backing him up. Jimmy Ward. And then, of course, Derek Stingley and Lassiter. Well, Derek Stingley's opposite Lassiter. But if Kalen Bullock starts on Friday, because that's going to be their best look. That's going to be their best look at their defense. Because I don't know how many games he's going to want to play the starters. Maybe another one for another half or another quarter or whatever. But if Kalen Bullock starts on Friday, he's your starting safety.
I agree.
Book
it. I agree. And so you have Jalen Petrie at the nickel.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, they have him penciled in, but Desmond King is there.
Yeah.
I mean, Desmond King, you talk about trusting, put the same question. I trust Case Keenum over Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Right now, I trust Desmond King over Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, it's a reason why they brought him back last year after they cut him. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what this is going to look like. I kind of can't wait till Friday so I can see.
Yeah, now Friday's going to be the Friday's going to be badass. So tell me about this thing with Steph Stradley, our friend Steph Stradley.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to
her. Because she was up in Cleveland. All our friends, Jonathan and Alexander's up in Cleveland. And, you know, like a lot of times when you're staying in a city, you don't want to just go out to eat sometimes. Sometimes you want to go pick up something at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So, I never even heard of this grocery store.
Yeah. So she know I'm from Northeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what's the local grocery store there? Because I want to go.
H-E-B, baby.
Yeah, grab some stuff. Yeah, there's no H-E-B up there. So I told her. So we have a grocery store up there called Giant Eagle.
Giant Eagle.
Yeah. What's funny is, I think around Houston, I seen a convenience store mm-hmm. named Giant Eagle. And I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, it was a little small convenience store. But she went up there and she said it was amazing. And I
is it?
Yeah, it is. It's the
it's
best.
Like HEB?
Yeah, they have their gas stations called Get Go, and you could get the fuel points and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I couldn't believe they had a liquor store inside of a grocery store. That was so strange to me.
Do that in Louisiana, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm going to get some milk, eggs, and a bottle of scotch.
Yes. Yes. It's actually pretty cool, but it got me thinking, like, dang, like, when I moved to Houston, what was something that was so odd to me that I was like, wow, they got that down here?
Yeah.
So it was, to me, it was so odd when I went to Specs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a whole big store just full of alcohol. Because we usually had like corner store liquor stores.
Yeah.
So we just go to the corner, like the little, my pops used to call it the state store.
Yeah.
The state store. Like, go to the state store.
I wonder what's that based on?
Yeah, I don't know.
The state store?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we used to go in there, and they kept all the alcohol behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to stand in line and say, hey, let me get a bottle of Hennessy, a bottle of Ciroc. So we weren't allowed to, you know, just grab anything.
Yeah.
And when I got down here, I'm like, wow, this is like a grocery store full of liquor.
Yeah.
And I was just going down the aisle. I was like, wow, I'm holding a bottle of liquor I never even heard of. And then they had all these expensive liquors that was like $300.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, dang, they just got this out on the shelf. Like, I could just walk out with this.
There's a store, our listeners will know, 713-572-4610. It's made the rounds, but there's a store, I think in Schulenburg, that sells guns and liquor.
Perfect combination, ain't it?
Guns and liquor. I don't know if I want to walk in there on a bad Friday night. That's for sure.
From the 281, somebody said the liquor store are state run in Ohio. I'm not.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I just grew up.
That makes sense.
With my pops called the state store.
When I was traveling so much, I used to obviously travel all over the country and. Like, there are certain grocery stores, like, in certain states. Like, if I'm in Florida, I go to Publix. Mm. And a lot of people never even heard of a Publix.
Yeah. The good thing about Ohio, too,
mm-hmm.
you could buy liquor on Sundays.
Oh, hell.
No issue. You could just go to the steak store on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that kind of threw me off when I moved here, too.
You're like, what?
Yeah, I had a bottle of wine at the grocery store on a Sunday. I'm like, I'd be cool. They was like, nope. It's Sunday. Like, are you serious?
California is Vons. Is the Vons grocery store. New York is Wegmans. I can tell you all these states, man. That's pretty sweet. So, guns and liquor. I think that's in Schulenburg. Anyway, all right. So, let me ask you guys another pretty simple question here, because we were just talking about Davis Mills. If these three questions are not answered Friday night when the starters play, are they ever going to be answered? We'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Maybe this defense is just badass. Practice. Be wrapping up here pretty soon. You're going to hear from Bobby Slowick at noon here on Sports Radio 610. And I was excited about Bobby Slowick because I think we should be excited about Bobby Slowick. A lot to cover on the offense, a lot to cover about today. A lot to cover with what this offense is going to look like. Injuries, if you didn't hear, Titus Howard carted off. We don't know anything else. Could be just precautionary, but carted off. Stephon Diggs went down for a little bit, but dude, like this would be like probably a better development than anything the Texans could do. Joe Mixon included, Stephon Diggs and what he can add to the offense included. I know those are bold statements, but if this defense is just badass, like everything changes.
I think so. I think that's very important if this defense is badass, especially with D'Amico Ryans being a defensive guy.
Yeah.
If they can get a good defense, man, we can be fine.
Get by with some production that you expected better.
Yeah, if the offense is struggling somehow, I hope it don't, but if it is struggling somehow, then you got that defense to lean on.
Or even not struggling. Like this says, say Stephon is a step slower and he only has 800 yards or 700 yards or whatever receiving, but you got the other two dudes, or Joe Mixon, you know, doesn't have the 1200 yard season, he has 900 or whatever. You can get by with that if this defense is badass, man.
I, to look at a team like the Browns, who had a great defense.
Yeah.
They got by with freaking P.J. Walker, yeah. Joe Flacco, and all that stuff. So just imagine having
C.J.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why are we saying this? Because just in the last 30 minutes, Kalen Bullock made an incredible interception. Apparently really wasn't that bad a pass from Davis Mills. Kalen Bullock made an incredible interception. He locked up Ben Skowronek on another pass. Derek Stingley just had his second interception of C.J. Stroud for the day. The defense is flat out kicking the offense's butt today, and they've kind of held their own, the offense, a little bit. Defense has had the edge, but they're just kicking their butt today. And this one would have been a pick six. Mm. So you got Derek Stingley, Kalen Bullock. We already know about Lassiter, who's not practicing, so you know we'll see about that. But they're just dominating right now, the defense.
Yeah, and I know the offense been the story of the offseason, but, man, I'm super fired up about the defense. And I want to see what Pitsy does.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Pitsy does candidate this year, man? I want to see who D'Amico Ryans take under his wing and who going to have that Blake Cashman type of year.
Yeah.
Is it Hanson? Is it one of the rookies? Mm-hmm. Are they just going to come out of nowhere and be like, wow, this guy's the key to this defense? Is it Aziz?
Petrie?
Yeah, is it Petrie?
Could it be Petrie at the nickel? Is that are they going to unlock it?
Yeah, is it somebody on that defensive line?
Is Al-Shaair, who's already a really good player, is he an All-Pro?
Yeah.
Does he become that dude like they had in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Man, this is the defense is just kicking butt today.
Yeah, even like Christian Harris, man, like he unlocked him towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Browns playoff game.
Yeah.
He unlocked Chris
and we haven't even seen him yet.
Yeah, so this defense could be something special. I know we keep talking about the offense,
mm-hmm.
but man, this defense—I think this defense could be a top 10, top 15 defense,
just or higher.
Yeah,
like top 10 for sure could be in play. At least the way they're looking right now. But there are three questions that I think need to be answered Friday. Maybe I'm being a little bit hasty. They have the rest of the preseason, et cetera, but I think if you don't start when the starters are on the field, when everybody's, you know, everything's ratcheted up a little bit, let me ask you these three questions. Chris, feel free to hop in on this, man, because number one, let me put it this way. Has John Metchie done enough to make this team?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Just make the team.
Yeah, like tell me what he's done so far where you say, you know what, that's – I think he's going to make the team.
If we're going just based off the Hall of Fame game, no. But if we're also including the practices, how good he's looked and all that stuff, then I'd say, yeah. I mean, maybe not as the wide receiver 4, but as a 5.
5 at best.
Yeah.
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 I would say, yeah.
And see, I thought it was a little troubling that he was even playing in the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. Like, when I feel like if you playing in the Hall of Fame game and a rookie is not a rookie cornerback is not.
Yeah.
Then I feel like he was fighting for your life right there. I think he should have been looking like Randy Moss out there.
and he had a drop off both his hands today. So it hadn't been a good follow up, at least today. I'm going to say no. I mean, we love this dude. Like he is the epitome of what you should have in a football player. But at some point he's got to make plays.
Yeah. So I wonder if him being such a good dude like that, I wonder if that's going to keep him on the roster at this point. But I'm a little worried for him, man.
Should be. And we touched on this in the last segment, but I think this is a question that if it's not answered Friday, will it ever be answered? Is Davis Mills the backup quarterback?
I think technically, yes. I do think he right now in camp, he's the number 2.
Mm-hmm.
But in the season where if they need a game right now, like we got to go out there and win this game. Mm-hmm. We can't lose this game. I'm going to say no. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do what they did last season and just skip right over him and go to Case Keenum. I don't think they could trust him to win a game.
Figgy said it best. I mean, yeah, right now, depth chart, all that stuff, showing yes. But when it comes to game time, it's going
to
be a no.
And to be honest, like, if C.J. Stroud is playing all these games and don't miss a game, hey, you could be the number 2.
Yeah, like, we'll just leave you there like last year.
Yeah, you could be our practice. You could run with the 2s.
Yeah.
But if I need a game, if it's like do or die and we can't afford to lose this game,
yeah,
I ain't going to Davis Mills.
I'm gonna say no. I'm not going to Davis Mills. I'm not. I'm just not. Like Seth said, and I said, he was fine in the first game, but he wasn't impressive. He wasn't impressive to me. I just trust Case Keenum more. All right, here's the third question. If it's not answered Friday, and we're maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves here. There's a lot to go, but I think given what we've seen in practice, given what we saw in the Hall of Fame game, and if it's not answered by Friday, they might be making decisions over there. They might be like, okay, because there are not a lot of players on the bubble, you know, in a lot of places. So they might start making decisions. Will linebacking depth be a problem?
I think it is. I think it will be, especially with Christian Harris still not out there. I think it will be because, I mean, I love Aziz. I think that's the guy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris, I think, obviously, if he's out there, that's a good thing. But after that, like, are we rolling with Toa Toa?
Yeah.
Is that the guy? Jake Hansen? I don't know if he can be that guy. He look okay at times, but I don't know if I can, you know, just lean on him saying we good.
Yes, I definitely think this is going to be an issue. Aziz goes down. Christian Harris is not at practice not practicing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when them two go down?
Yeah.
I mean, who are we rolling out there?
Well, let me tell you, because I'm going to say it is going to be a problem. I thought about linebacking depth going into the offseason, going into mini camp, going into camp, and then they kind of like sort of eased my worry a little bit early in camp because you saw some of these guys making plays. But they didn't look good. They didn't look good in the Hall of Fame game. We'll see Friday if they can step up. But let's just go on body of work. Neville Hewitt is what he is, an aging linebacker that is solid special teamer. Jake Hansen is in concussion protocol right now, and I don't know how much confidence you had in Jake Hansen to begin with. Delshawn Phillips, I don't know. I mean, ooh. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And the sixth-round pick, Jamal Hill, I mean, he's a rookie, and he's a rookie that struggled a little bit. I think if the linebackers get dinged up, like we're gonna be in a little bit of a pickle, so to speak.
Man, you got me feeling sad.
No. What you should feel good about is this defense is. I'll just say the same thing I said earlier. It might be badass. Like it might be really good.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think every team have his issues and, you know, problems and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're talking about linebacker depth.
Yeah.
You know, we used to be talking about who the hell are the linebackers going to be.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We was talking about the what was the cat that played here a couple years ago that was looking awful 2 years. He just became awful. I think he came over from Green Bay. I forgot I can't remember
his
name.
He's ringing that bell.
I can't remember his name, but nah, we in a better position now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We're in a position where we can afford to talk about backup linebackers.
Kirksey.
Oh, I'm thinking about Kirko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad right there, man.
Kirko.
First year was okay, but second year was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you haven't heard, we'll find out as much as we can on Titus Howard and getting carted off the field today. We're going to do the hits next. Jim Harbaugh is a piece of work, man. He is an absolute piece of work. USA Basketball's in for it. And we've got the latest from Texans training camp. That's next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
How you feeling about the Astros right now, man?
Not feeling
legit.
Good.
Like the 713-572-4610. Like we've all been like, you know, oh, they're done. Oh, they're not done. That was me. They can't hit the ball. Look at them tearing the cover off the ball. All of a sudden they're like, okay, they need some starting pitching. Wow, starting pitching's great. But how all that together, how you feeling about the Astros right now?
I feel sick. Honestly, I just feel sick because it's one thing if they lose a couple games and it's just like, well, the better team won or whatever. But you just feel so sick because it's like, man, we could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense was just nowhere to be found. Star pitching was good, man. I got to keep saying that. They did their thing.
Yeah.
But the offense was MIA.
They're just not playing complimentary baseball.
No.
Man. Like, I feel like all year, that's the main thing. It's either the pitching does good, and then the bats are bad. The bats are good, pitching's bad. It's just complimentary
baseball,
man. Bullpen's
good, then bullpen's bad.
It's just,
It just make you, it make you sick to your stomach. It's just like,
but is that a sign? The fact that they can't get it all together and they always have?
I think so. I'm surprised they even this good. I thought it was going to be worse than this.
Yeah.
But that's why I said from the beginning, like, man, I don't know what they could do to get better.
Yeah.
And that's why I would hold tight at the trade deadline, because I think
the trade deadline might come back to haunt them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't even know what they could have done in the trade deadline to even get better. Yeah. I just think this season, I think it was just a bad season. And, you know, even if they do make the playoffs, I'm above that, man. I want to get to the ALCS. I want to get to another World Series.
Yeah, talk about being spoiled and expecting things like we were talking about the Texans.
Yeah, so I think if it's not that.
We have a standard.
Yeah, I think if it's not that, then it's a failure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at a place right now where, like, this time I really mean it. I mean, you know, because, like, these next 25 games, they're a game and a half behind the Mariners. Mariners made some moves. I don't know if they're going to be able to hit the ball down the stretch, but they're still a game and a half up on the Astros. The Rangers feel like they can make a move, you know, and it is a gettable division, and they got two more against the Rangers. I'm at the point right now where if they can't make some hay in these next 25 games, it's going to be – and I know 25 is a big chunk, but what I'm saying is, like, outside of the White Sox, who are god-awful, they got series against the Red Sox twice, the Orioles, the Phillies, the Rays, and the Royals. And those teams are a combined 41 games over 500. That's the chance right there. You got to hold your own. You got to try to win more than you can and get the bats going.
Yeah, it's a lot of good teams in the AL, man. And I think the Astros are benefiting by playing in the AL West. Because it's probably the worst divisions out of all of them.
Yeah.
But, man, when you start looking at these other teams, it's like, oh, everybody is right there.
Yeah.
In the, above 500 in some type of way. So they really got to hold their own. And I don't know how many wins they're going to rack off, but they got to at least –
give me 15. Give me 15 out of 25.
I'm not saying they need to run the table.
Yeah.
But
I'll take 18, but give me 15.
They gotta be on the positive side. They can't be losing most of these series like that.
Yeah, this is the stretch, man.
Am I crazy for it? I'm still holding on to, like, some hope.
That, like, they're gonna tear it up?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of hope, though? Like, are you hoping they gonna at least make it to the playoffs and that's the success? Or
no, just
make flip a switch.
Yeah, flip a switch and once they get there, we see the Astros that we know.
Yeah.
See, I kind of had a little hope after a while when they start racking off some wins and they got the first place, where I'm like, maybe they did flip that switch.
Oh, we felt it. Like, their offense was tearing it up.
Yeah.
Good stretch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought they maybe they do got it in them.
And then it went back.
Yeah. So I just don't know if it's that same team a couple years ago where they just flip that switch and scare everybody and be the boogeyman that they've been in the last 7 years.
Yeah, you need to tell me, though, Kyle Tucker will definitely be back, because I don't think it's going to be – I mean, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be to the end of August. That Justin Verlander is going to show some sign of something that he was when he comes back. That Luis Garcia, after Tommy John and everything else, is just going to be above average. You give me those three things with the pitching they have, maybe Altuve and Bregman, you know, pick it back up. And then maybe they can flip a switch.
That's asking for a lot.
It's asking
though,
for a lot.
That's a lot. That's if everything go perfect, then they could be, you know, competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But shoot, you got to look at the other teams too. The other teams been tearing it up too.
Yeah.
So you asking for Bregman to get back to old Bregman?
Mm-hmm.
You asking Altuve to do what he used to do?
Carry the squad.
Yeah. And then, oh, by the way, Yordan. We need Yordan in there doing this thing. And, oh, if we get Kyle Tucker back, then he doing this thing. That's a lot to ask for, man.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because they're the Astros, but a lot of stuff has to fall in place.
Yeah, everything got to go perfect, man.
Yeah.
And we can't have what we've been having the last couple days.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
Last week.
Yeah.
8 days.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. You see your boy Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh This dude is
on my nerves.
This
man.
Dude is awesome.
Dude, I really thought about just flicking him off when I saw him this weekend, man. I even thought about taking the picture and just be like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just right in his face. Oh, I can't stand him.
So we talked about yesterday all the allegations. The NCAA is coming down on Michigan that Connor Stallions was wearing disguises on the sideline, that the new head coach deleted 52 text messages. So apparently he knew something about something there. And Jim Harbaugh stood up there yesterday and said, nah, man, I'm saying it with my chest. I got nothing to worry about. I got nothing to apologize for. Proud of this, proud of that, or whatever. Well, our buddy Paul Feinbaum, you know, responded as only Paul Feinbaum can.
I mean, it's an Oscar-winning performance, Greeny. I mean, I had a lot of different emotions. I mean, I wanted to throw all kinds of adjectives up on the board. I wanted to label him as a pathological liar, as someone who is delusional. But I can't do it anymore because, I think he, in many ways, is the Jack Nicholson of coaching. He's a man for all seasons. He has so many different lanes. And you really just can't get mad at the guy. I mean, you can't say he ran a program into the ground because they won the national championship. Yeah, he left a stench behind, but as we have said, it will get cleaned up with very little penalty. He's making a fortune with the Chargers. And I'm going to bow at the feet of Jim Harbaugh for pulling off this scam and then acting like he didn't do anything wrong.
That was extremely well put in every possible way.
Yeah. Frankly, I'm not even really kidding. He should be a politician. Because, like, he can look you square in the eyes and just say anything, and people can buy in.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. Yeah. If he ain't do anything wrong, why did you leave after winning a national championship?
He ran out of town.
Yeah, you got the – man.
He ran out of town.
He's skedaddled out of town, man. You could have had a repeat. It was a good chance.
Hell
you could have
went
back-to-back.
Hell yeah.
And you've been kicking Ohio State ass.
Man,
and you skedaddle out of town, man.
Skedaddle is a good way to put it. But he's convincing, except for Paul Feinbaum. All right, so we also saw yesterday, I was talking about locked in on some weird stuff in the Olympics. Mondo Duplantis, pole vaulter. All right, so three things are happening here. First of all, he wins the gold medal and sets an Olympic record. And he pops up out of the thing. You remember that Turkish shooter that had his hand in his pocket, no ear stuff and no glasses, and just got pop, 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 wins a silver medal? Yeah. So he mocked that. But this was him setting the Olympic record.
What's going on there with Mondo Duplantis?
Well, he's already won the gold, and he's already set a new Olympic record, and he has had the bar raised to a new world record height of 6.25, two failures, and a third chance here to set history in the Stade de France. 6.25, he goes clear!
All right, so that's where he did the hand in pocket gesture. He might just be the most badass Olympian of all, and we just saw him yesterday. So then, all 50 whatever, he was the only guy left participating in all the track and field venue last night. All 58,000 or whatever it was stayed there to watch him set the Olympic record. So he said, what the hell? I'm going to try to make a world record, to break the world record. Misses his first two and then his third attempt.
What's going on there with Mondo Duplantis?
Well, he's already won the gold and he's already set a new Olympic record and he has had the bar raised to a new world record height of 6.25, two failures and a third chance here to set history in the Stade de France. 6.25, he goes clear! Unbelievable! Duplantis!
And as soon as he does that,
amazing, he is the creme de la creme!
He is the creme de la creme.
This whole stadium has stuck around to watch Mondo Duplantis take a third attempt at the world record, and he gets it.
All right, so he goes, he pops out of the pit, runs to the front row of the stadium, and flat out makes out with his girlfriend. Doesn't kiss her on the cheek, doesn't just peck her on the lips. I mean, they're like mauling each other.
Hey, that's how you got to do it when you set a world record.
They're like mauling each other. So he's doing the gun thing. He makes out with his smoking hot girlfriend, and she was. And then we have this reaction coming, and this just drives me nuts. Like, so he not only, you know, sets the world record and all that, but then all of a sudden these guys decide that he should have been doing it, because he was born and raised in Louisiana. Mike Greenberg and Dominic Foxworth. He was born and raised in Louisiana, but his mother is Swedish. His mother competed for the Swedish Olympic team, but this is what they said.
Here we go. He's Sweden's Armand Duplantis. And when I say Sweden's, I mean he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, I think his mom competed for Sweden, so yes, he decided that's not to a compete for thing. Sweden also. But I mean, I'm counting that and I'm medal counting. The man grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Another one for the USA. USA! USA! There yeah. we go.
He won the gold. His nickname is Mondo. His mother is Swedish.
So oh, yeah, that's not a little thing.
Half. It's the second gold medal that he has won. So, again, it just seems like an odd, like, I mean, good for him, good for their family. If that's what he wants to do, then he's repping Sweden. I'm all good with that. But I mean,
no,
it does
not.
Seem like an interesting thing that he was born and raised
no,
in Louisiana.
Not.
And it's not like he wouldn't have made the American team.
I think he would have.
Right? Like, I understand some of the basketball players playing for their native, you know, countries
how
or some sort of
that?
Descendancy because
exactly.
they wouldn't make the American team.
They show
the best in the world.
They show the record books, and he has the 9 highest jumps in the history of the sport. I think he'd have made the team.
All right, Chris,
I think
that's good. Look,
that's the same thing.
How do they feel about Joel Embiid? Born in Cameroon, French territory. The French fans are like booing him at USA basketball games. By the way, USA's got their first elimination game today, so we'll keep you up to date on that. But like, they have no problem with Joel Embiid. He should be playing for France,
it's
right?
It's the same thing,
it's the
man.
The same thing.
It's the same thing.
I'd love to see him compete for the United States. He is Swedish too.
Yeah, they act like his parents were American,
yes.
and he decided to just represent this random country.
Yes,
nah, like man, Naomi Osaka, she did.
There's
that.
Another example.
Yeah, she decided to roll with Japan.
Yeah,
and she could have rolled with I think it was Haitian. I can't remember, but she had like 2 countries she could have rolled with.
A lot of us do. Not me, not you, but a lot of people do.
And she did it in honor of her. I want to say her mom.
Yeah.
So look,
maybe I could have competed for Mexico. My mom was born. Was over there.
You could have. You could have.
Maybe I could have.
Yeah, you could have.
That would have been race walking. I could have done some race walking for Mexico. But no, like, but that would be a stretch. Like, his mother, born and raised in Sweden, Swedish Olympic team. His girlfriend, the one he was making out with, is Swedish. He spends time in Sweden. He could have competed for the USA. And this is like the ugly American side of us.
Yeah, that's why some people be calling us snobs.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Like, y'all already got enough medals. And you trying to take this away? So, nah, I look.
I would have loved to have seen it happen, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Let him.
Yeah, it's cool. He's still American.
Yeah.
But he just wanted to do something in honor of his mom. I can't get mad at that.
There you go. All right. And I remember we were talking about Astros baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how. T-Mobile.com/switch. All right. A lot happened at Texans practice today. We're going to hear from Bobby Sloak. He had a heck of a day last Thursday. The offense had a horrible day today, which was good news for the defense, but not good for Bobby Sloak. We're going to hear from Bobby Sloak next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.